friends. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this is My Perfect Romance.
Bow, chicka, bow, bow.
What about all of you?
Or how about my sweet love?
I think we all have a different idea about what romance is.
Well, what is the perfect romance?
Gosh, I don't know, but let's find out.
My goodness. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How is everyone?
Well rested.
I feel like I may break out into like a big, you know, synchronized coughing spree. So like if I just share my airplane cooties with you,
wait,
I can't
wait to get sick. Thank you.
Because I care. Here, did you want to share my coffee with me?
Absolutely. Yes.
I know. I'm like,
I want what you have.
Baby, you can have everything I have. I'm going to give it to you.
So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about You, Me, and Tuscany, written by Ryan and Kristen Engel, released on April 10th, 2026. It's directed by Kat Cario. And the main love interest is played by Halle Bailey as Anna Montgomery and Regine Jean Page.
I looked up how to say his name.
Oh, do.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay,
I'll do it. Because he does a tutorial on it.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah, because it's really confusing.
And he's adorable.
Reggae, like the music.
Oh, I love reggae.
Think Sean with a Ja.
Ja.
So reggae Jean Page, like
Page in the book. I wanted to say, like, it's special, like, Reggae.
Yeah, because it's got the little, like, line over the E, which I don't know what that does to a letter, but it's
in my mind, I was saying it fancy.
You just put your pinky. It means you're supposed to put your pinky up when you say it.
He's from, I want to say, Zimbabwe.
That would make sense. That would make sense because,
Because he does have a very nice English accent.
And he's very good looking to go up to one.
Those are not English. That's not an English six pack, though.
It's not. That?
That's, I don't know very many English
guys. It's just a beautiful six pack. So thank you.
Thank you, John Page,
for that.
It's nice to look at, especially when he takes off his shirt.
I know. Yes. I was like.
Which happens.
Yes.
Yes. So that's our main people. So fun facts about this particular movie. It actually features real Tuscan musicians throughout the film.
I love that. Really?
Yes. They were discovered by the production team. And so they were written into the music soundtrack.
I want that job.
Isn't that cool?
I want to.
They're just in Italy and they're like, wow, that's a really beautiful band playing. Let's have you in our film.
How cool would that be?
That's kind of like that great. I hope that they go on to becoming famous because of it. It's like the models being, or what wasn't Marilyn Monroe discovered? Or
I don't know her story.
There's been a few famous actresses. I can't remember which ones, but who've been discovered.
Yeah.
Just waitressing or on the street or whatever.
So I feel like Harrison Ford was like a custodian on a movie set or something. And they're like, why aren't you in the movie? I could be lying and making that up, but I feel
I've heard a rumor about that and I looked it up. It's not quite the rumor said, but
I think he was a carpenter.
Yes. And he had done some acting in addition to that. So he was a carpenter on set and he had done some acting. And then they pulled him in to read. Counter other people auditioning and things.
Wow.
And he always had a mindset and his like quote was like, oh no, I'm thinking of a different person for the quote. But there was another fan actor who has like a lineage of family. Just go with it.
We are just making stuff up.
Okay, one more fun fact that is unrelated to the movie, but I just loved it because for the first time I watched Silence of the Lambs.
That's scary.
On Netflix right now. Why are so many people watching it?
It's like the 30 or 25 year anniversary or something.
Because it's made. Big talk right now. I feel like I've talked to a bunch of clients lately who actually have watched Silence of the Lambs, Red Dragon. They did the whole
thing. Do you think it's because our kids are old enough now that we can watch it with them?
Maybe. I had seen it. I'd never seen it until last October.
Did you watch it with your kids?
I watched it with my daughter. We were in a remote cabin of the woods.
Oh my God.
Why?
Did you have a question?
And it was like the day after Halloween.
Oh.
Because we just went down to visit her.
Goodness.
And we decided to rent a little cute cabin and go fishing.
Oh.
And
wait, stop. Your 20-year-old daughter gave up, like, early 20 Halloween to hang out with you?
Well, she did her Halloween party the night before.
Okay. That's why I was just like,
I wasn't going to make her miss out on that.
I was like, that's love. Yeah, but that is love that she's still having.
She does. Oh my God. Yes.
Your daughter is amazing. Yeah, she's the cutest thing
I'm
ever.
I'm in love with her. We watched
Once Upon a Time.
Couldn't help but like look up the main character. Like, he won awards for the role that he played. The guy that it puts solution on the
screen. Yeah. He's so good.
But he builds decks. He is not. The guy that played.
You're kidding me.
Yes.
Anthony Hopkins.
Not Anthony Hopkins. The guy that plays the murderer.
The guy who kidnaps.
Yeah, he's crazy.
Okay. He was so crazy. The one that says it puts solution on the skin.
He's good.
Such a good creepy actor.
Could you imagine? Okay, that's how I would be discovered. I would be discovered as we need a leading lady who's beautiful and like totally articulate and like spot on. They're like, we need a freak. You are the freak we're looking for. I'd be like some weird like scene and they'd be like, that's what we want.
She can kick her legs up real high, you guys.
Yeah, be careful.
She would be discovered on a playground doing splits on a pole. Like, wow.
We've
someone
seen
that
it.
Can do that.
We've seen it before.
So anyway.
You guys, the connotation is all
about. So anyway, fun fact. The a lot of the music was discovered.
And that's okay. What I'm
here. So this movie, it was shot at a legendary Italian film studio that previously hosted a cinematic classic like Federico Fellini, La Dolce Vita.
I cannot pronounce
La
Dolce
Vita.
La Dolce Vita.
And just put your pinky up when you say it and it's sophisticated.
Fellini's La Dolce Vita.
Yeah, but I will say that was probably, it was actually my favorite part of this movie was the setting. It made me want to travel to Tuscany, which I've never been to, and go on a wine tour. Like,
I agree.
Like Phil did.
It's wonderful. Yeah. I love it. Bob and I are, we're like, we probably are going to try to get a place in either Tuscany or Sicily when we.
I'll come visit.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And then the two main leads, it must have been filmed while the Olympics were going on because they bonded over, you know, their shared love of figure skating, which who doesn't love figure skating?
Right.
And debating over their favorite classic rom-coms. So they are in a rom-com and they love rom-coms. So good for them.
Dude, this is Holly and...
Holly Bailey and then Jean...
Reggae.
No. Reggae.
Reggae and Holly, like, became good friends.
Yes.
That's fair.
Yeah. And they both love rom-coms.
Yep.
Well, didn't you say that Reggae
Champagne?
Yes.
Jean Bridgerton.
Yes. And then after you said that,
Wait. I've seen those abs before. I think he is the Duke.
Yeah.
Those
so
are familiar abs.
I knew. I'm like, wait a second. I've had
I don't recognize the face, but the abs.
I know. I've had in here thoughts about those abs before.
They've been in my dreams for months.
Oh my gosh. So much. So, yeah, fun facts about the movie.
And now I want to get up into the little Bridgerton Hoppy thing. Like,
Okay, so the main characters, well, we just said are Anna and. Is it Michael?
Michael.
Yeah. Anna, after losing her job, she's a house sitter.
Yes.
Her sense of direction following her mother's death. For
she
sure.
is impulsive. Yes, she is.
And so she impulsively flies to Italy after a conversation with a one-night stand she had.
But she doesn't actually have the one-night stand with the one-night stand.
They were going to have a one-night stand, and he was so exhausted, jet-lagged, that he just crashed out.
I didn't get this when she met him at the bar. She's so rude to him, but he finds her so charming. He's like, oh, but you're so cute, even though you're being so rude to me.
And prior to that, she just lost her job, which is also her housing because she was a house sitter because she got caught wearing the woman's like really high end fashion, expensive clothing and lingerie.
Yeah, lingerie, not just like, oh, I'm like trying on her jacket.
Underwear.
Yeah, that's kind of creepy. I'm just going to put it out there.
And the woman comes back a month early, which, like, wow, like you get a house sit for a month, like months on end.
And it's like penthouse in New York, you know.
Yeah. And you're living this life and you're not doing a good job. I mean, like, I'm sorry your mom died, but you still don't get to be a dick.
She was
I mean, okay, in Anna's defense, I mean that
I do like the actress. She's adorable, but
she is.
You,
the character.
You have to, I mean, what do you expect if somebody's going to, I mean, in a way, like, I would prefer the person watching my house to not wear my clothes and go through my stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But in a way, you're like, but maybe it's going to happen. If you're going to have somebody house sit.
Absolutely not.
I feel like when I have had house sitters, like, I make sure, like, they know that they can make themselves at home. I show them, like, okay, you to this room, yeah, and this bathroom. And
but you don't go in their master bedroom.
Well, no. I mean, you. Yeah. I like I say, you wouldn't want that to happen.
You don't have friends.
But I would say I would not I wouldn't say that wouldn't happen.
I've never
I'd be like,
for anybody.
I'd like, that could happen.
If I was a high-end, if this was a high-end house sitting situation, which
you
obviously.
Respectful. There's cameras.
I mean, you do right? not. I mean, like, I think it's just basic respect. That's like if someone's like, oh, well, I told them they could come feed my cat.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, I've had so many of your children over to house sit for me when I've been out of town. And and granted, it's really hilarious when they send me pictures of themselves making themselves coffee. And, you know, like, I love it when I get these random, like, Gabe is all like, hey, I'm, you know, at your house. I swung by after school because it was close. And I'm eating some bread before it goes moldy. You know,
honestly, like, I couldn't. I would never do that. I would never feel comfortable doing that. Like, even if I was like cleaning, if I was a house cleaner, there's just things you just don't do.
You don't do.
The woman.
I never did that. No need.
The woman who cleaned my house, she's like, I don't. I mean, like, she goes, I don't know, because I don't open doors. Like, there's a door closed, a cupboard closed, I don't even open.
No, it's not. So, it's not. And like, I used to clean hotel rooms, you know, in college and things. And then also when we were short on staff and we needed to clean the hotel rooms.
Right.
I would go in and clean hotel rooms, and like, if the clothes are right there and you need to vacuum that spot, you
set them on the dresser.
You move around things, but you know, like, you don't, if there's a whole bunch of change and stuff from someone's purse that's open, you don't touch it.
No.
You don't touch any valuables. You clean around the valuables and, you know, but you will, like, on the bathroom, you know, you'll pull that, oh, their toothpaste fell into the sink. You'll put that on the side and you'll clean the sink. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think there's any excuse for it.
Well, and I guess,
I've been in both sides of the equation, and that's
I guess being the owner of the home, if this person is going to, like, do something like, as far as wearing your clothes, what else is she going to do? Is she going to steal your rings?
Well, and also, you wear someone's clothes. These are clothes. These are high-end clothes that need to be dry cleaned, that you can, if you go out and wear them, you can stain them. You can, you know, piling.
What other boundaries is she going to cross?
Exactly.
She crosses that. I would fire her, too. I'd be like, you know what? You cross this boundary. I don't trust you to not cross other boundaries.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. So, I don't know if I like our leading girl in this movie. Just to give everyone a heads up. I mean, like, I'm sorry. That means your behavior is not justified by the fact that your mom just died. I mean.
Yeah.
No, you get a free pass.
The other protagonist is Mateo, who I love, meets in the bar.
Yes.
And he is kind of a footloose.
A floozy?
A footloose, fancy free Italian living in New York, kind of ignoring his family in Italy.
Right. His family, they run like a vineyard and a restaurant and, you know, all hands on deck kind of situation. But he's just like, I want to live my own life.
Yeah. I'm enjoying New York and, you know, and the excitement here and being far away from my family.
I'm just going to tell you that the economics that they, you know, their economic structure in this movie is off.
Yeah, it was a little bit.
Yeah.
Unless they just, you know, came from money and they meet, you know.
They use other,
And then Michael is the brother who is in Italy, who lives in Italy. And he is kind of like making wine and helping run the vineyard. And he is, now I like him. He is just super cute.
You do
sweet.
Like him? Because he's doing all that for his family. But when they first meet, I thought he was an asshole because he was rude. Like, he clearly saw that she's trying to order a sandwich and he's super flirty with the girl behind the counter. And so he gets to use his look and charm to, like, butt in front of her, take the sandwich, and then run very intentionally.
Yeah, that's like,
he was such an asshole.
Yeah.
And she calls him out on it.
Yeah.
And so he somewhat halfway apologizes. He's not really nice to her, but he
gives like, well, her half of her sandwich back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, and since she is like, since she was in a culinary school, she never graduated, by the way. She
couldn't touch a stove after mom died.
No, she couldn't go near one, but she appreciates good food. So she's eating a sandwich and she's in heaven. So she is grateful.
She's gave her a half. But she's also impulsively in Tuscany.
Like, just.
And has no plan whatsoever with $500 in her pocket.
Which does not get you far in Tuscany.
It's of a festival season. So all of the hotels are booked. All of the hostels. Like, there's nowhere for her to stay.
Yeah.
Which, that happened to me.
Yes.
When we were traveling in Europe as a kiddo. And we were kind of pantsing a little bit. Like, we'll just find a hostel somewhere. And we happened upon a place that we were going to stay. We didn't realize there was a festival because I feel like the internet didn't even exist back then.
No.
So how would you have known? And so we're like, oh, we'll just take a train 4 hours there and 4 hours back and sleep on the train. And that can be our house for the night. But it did not work out well. But that was our solution to that conundrum.
And she almost got mugged.
Almost got mugged. Yeah, because it was in the middle of the night.
And then a really nice bus driver saved your butt.
Yeah, the bus driver pulled up right when, like, these people were, like, closing in. He's like, get on this bus. And he just let me stay the whole night on the bus. So, because I didn't know the train station closed. It was crazy. It was not a fun. It was an adventure. That I'll never forget.
That you don't want your kids to have.
But at the same time, like, she's kind of in that boat.
Yeah.
So she's got to figure out this housing situation.
Yeah. And she's kind of in a bad situation. Yeah. And
I get it.
And we've, okay. So I'll be fair to her because, like, I'm like, all a girl, you know, I'm like,
and she's
her.
Alone. I wasn't alone when I was dealing with that.
Well, let's just step back because I think we miss a part where she
befriends the cab driver.
Anna meets Mateo in New York.
Yes.
At a bar. After she gets fired, she's like,
I'm just gonna drink.
Wallowing. Her friend gives her a free meal at this hotel she works at. Mm-hmm. And so she's has a hamburger and beer. And this cute Italian guy is sitting down the way, which is Mateo. And he strikes up a conversation with her. She's so rude to him. I don't know why he wants to continue the conversation with her. But, you know,
guys will forgive anything.
They have this conversation and he tells her all about living in Italy and his villa and says, you should come visit me.
Yeah.
Someday, you know,
I have this giant home. It's empty.
It's empty.
And I
basically, he's just bragging and flexing his buns in order to get her.
I have a key under the frog by the front door.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, you should be able to tell someone where your secret key is hidden halfway across the world.
Yeah, like someone that you're just having a casual bar conversation.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, because that should mean nothing. You know, like, oh, can she even remember what city? Like, he didn't even mention the city, I don't think.
So she ends up going up to his room with him. He falls asleep. Mm-hmm. Then she has the gall to, like, open up his phone.
And start perusing. Start looking.
But this is a woman who wears somebody else's underwear. She has
spot on behavior.
Yeah. Like, she has no respect for anyone else's privacy or belongings or rights or anything. It's just, you know what? I'm entitled to this.
And she's like taking screenshots, pictures. Like, she's.
And sending them
psycho.
To herself.
Psycho.
And so she sees where he lives, you know, and has an idea of like where he lives.
How
in Italy.
Is that? Oh,
so she's attacking him. Was she thinking?
She decides. Like, why would you then and there in the next morning when she wakes up, Mateo's gone, leaves her note, you know, whatever. Nice meeting you. And she's like, you know what? I'm going to Italy. right now. She gets hops on a cab with the tiniest backpack ever, which holds clothing for months. The whole summer.
I'm convinced she just steals clothes out of people's closets the whole time. Because I don't know where she
comes up with that. She had no money to buy with clothes. That stuff. I don't.
Yeah. And then I love how it's like, oh, it all fits me perfectly. And it's just, you know, it reminds me of like the old musicals, the 1950s musicals, where they had just that one like overnight little thing. And then these women are, you know, pulling out
giant dresses,
and they have a different dress for every single day. And you're like, that was not in that suitcase.
Well, I know, just I'm going camping this weekend.
Yeah.
Just the things I'm taking for 2 days. Like, it's more than that backpack. That backpack holds your toiletries. That's it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. So I just got back.
At least she had her toothbrush. At least she wasn't using other people's toothbrushes.
That's true.
Yeah. I don't know. I wouldn't put it past her. I mean,
at this point, right?
But we just got back, and like, and nowadays, like, we have, we have like compression bags, so you like can get quite a bit in,
maybe,
and things and stuff like that. But like,
She didn't have that.
And
no, her clothes were not wrinkled. Those wrinkle your clothes. But yes, so she ends up.
She ends up in Italy, has the encounter with Michael. Then she's like, can't find a place to stay. There's nowhere open because this holiday is happening in the town she's visiting.
But luckily for her, this, you know, taxi cab driver who, you know, is like, it's peak holiday time. I can make real money and like super, you know what? You're going to become my new best friend, and I will stop everything to not only just drive you all over the whole entire country for free. I will also become your emotional support system because, you know, I'm a 50-year-old guy, and that's what I do. I like befriend 25-year-old girls that I don't want to be creepy with.
I'm your best friend.
Yeah, so
he takes her up to the villa, and the key is exactly where, you know,
where Mateo said.
I mean, so that's permission, right? Yeah,
so she goes in, and it's a
don't like her
beautiful home. Like we said, it's filmed is gorgeous. The house is beautiful, and she just makes herself right at home.
Yes.
Spends the night.
My goodness.
Then
the family shows up to clean. And she's...
Okay, which once again, like if this family is so rich that they have their oldest son can go off to the place and whatnot and have you, I mean, five of them get together for a Saturday. Let's go and clean.
Yeah, Mateo's empty
house. That was already clean when she got there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what people do.
Yes.
Unless they were going to go and snoop through his doors and look, you know,
for
random.
Meanwhile, she had been snooping through the doors. And who keeps a wedding ring in a drawer?
Well, and because they do and that, so, obviously,
it's not important. So she puts it on her finger and of course she can't get it back off.
Well, and then right at that
moment. And that's not her fault. That can happen to anyone. You accidentally fall into a house and you're accidentally like snooping through the drawers and you accidentally open up the ring box and you accidentally put it on your finger. I mean, that happens.
And then right then the family comes in and you have to try and hide, but then you are shimmying your way down the water hose.
Yeah.
From the top.
When this girl was not, this girl is not a, she does not have the six pack. Okay.
It falls while she's on in front of everybody. So she's caught. They're going to call the police. And what happens? She has to tell a lie.
Then they see the ring on her finger and they're like, oh, wait, are you Mateo's fiance? Yes, I am.
And because I'm a creeper and I take all sorts of weird random photos.
I also lie.
And I lie. I can show you. See, look at us together.
Because, well, she has two options. Go to jail.
I know. Or which, of course, because
fiance that she really knows.
But I love the fact that the cab driver, you know, who is like the super busy time and he should be, and who already took the time to take her all the way out to the villa. And he's waiting around or something like that. So then she can have a conversation with him about how.
Well, and this is probably my favorite line from the whole movie, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes. You have two choices. You can either pretend to be someone's fiance or go to jail. But either way, it's very romantic.
Yes.
Yes. So so that's what she's dealing with. And then who shows up?
But after everybody
accepts her, ingratiates her into the family.
Yes. Mm-hmm. She's now adored, loved.
Because she's going to bring the prodigal son home.
Yes. Yes.
And so that's why they adore her. They love Mateo, but He doesn't want to come home.
Yeah, but he'll come home for her. Who's Mateo's brother? Michael, the sandwich thief.
The sandwich thief.
And there were already sparks, but they just get bigger. Time goes on.
Who doesn't have sparks with the guy who just comes and grabs your sandwich?
Well, I mean, you know, who is, like, why would you not fall in love with this beautiful man?
Okay, because she watched Bridgerton.
I'm in love with him too.
So like
she
that
knew
dude,
what was under the shirt.
He can steal my sandwich.
Well,
like, yeah,
and
it's okay.
He takes you to his personal tasting room.
Yeah,
and feeds you all this, or feeds you, drinks you,
wines and
waters
you,
waters you with all this amazing wine, and you get super drunk, just tasting wine, and he's impressed because she's. You know, culinary student who appreciates taste.
Yeah.
And she's like,
she can talk the talk.
I taste
you give me
this
good
and
food,
this and
dude.
This.
Like,
and he's like, you know, like what my wine tastes like. That's exactly what it's supposed to be. Okay. So he's enchanted with her. She's enchanted with
him. Okay. Which can I just tell you? That is so like, because like the whole entire point of like learning wine is to learn how to express, learn what you like and learn how to express what you like. It's like it doesn't matter. Like, it's like your experience is, yeah, that's so pompous.
Yeah. I mean, but I was thinking I'd like to be Anna right now. I'd love to be right there tasting wine with Michael.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Who would?
But for
and they're
some...
also sharing like with each other some pretty deep.
Yeah.
You know, things that I don't know that you'd share, maybe because of the wine.
Yeah, absolutely. They're opening up to
each other.
They're
opening up quite a bit. Mm-hmm.
There's also flirting that is kind of icky if she's engaged to your brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is icky.
But then there's...
But he's brooding and he's like holding himself back. You can tell he's restraining.
But once again, why would he respect her when she's giving off vibes?
Yeah. Right. But then she's like, she jumps up when things get a little too heavy or whatever. She jumps up and runs down the wine field or the grape field, like at full speed. And he's like, what's happening? And he runs after her. And she's in this white dress that's flowing behind her.
Yeah,
she's running as fast as she can. She's so darling. I mean,
yeah.
So cute. He is so taken with her spontaneity. And she suddenly stops by a grapevine and picks one and eats it. She's like, I've always wanted to do this. And then she places one in his little hand. It's not little, masculine hand.
Okay. Now, was I like the only one who was like, can this just be a Hunger Games moment where they eat the berries and die?
I wanted them to die at this point.
So... It's supposed to be such a romantic moment. And they almost kiss, but the sprinklers go on and she's worried about her hair.
He almost kisses his brother's fiance.
Yeah, and his brother's, from what he understands, his brother's fiance is down with, like, you know, running through fields with him and almost kissing him.
Yeah. So, so we have, you know, she's trying to stay housed and stay out of jail. Michael's trying to keep his family's vineyards running. She has no money to her name and no family. So she's conflicted. She's like, I've got this family that loves me and I want to go along with this lie.
And I don't have enough money. I don't have enough money to even pay for a plane ticket home.
Right. And Michael's dealing with, like, I'm in love with this woman, but she's engaged to my brother. So they're sitting with this, I can do nothing about this, because she knows that she's going to be caught eventually.
It's kind of like, I think Courtney put it well earlier. Yeah. It's a creepy while you were sleeping.
No, at least it's...
Oh, was that Lisa? Yeah.
Yeah, it did remind me a lot of the while you were sleeping, except for the main character while you were sleeping, she wanted to tell the truth and she kept trying, but she kept getting blocked. And then she was being discouraged from
telling the truth. And she, like, came into the situation because she saved the guy's life.
So the cab driver was, like, the person discouraging her, but he has no skin in the game.
Yeah.
And she's not doing anything illegal and while you were sleeping. And she's actually a very kind person that, like, really helped this family out.
Absolutely.
But there was nothing about this main character that was saving.
No, it was all self-interest.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, and they're growing closer. And she kind of tells Michael that, you know, she quit culinary school because her mother died.
Yeah, she's paralyzed by grief.
Yeah.
She can't move forward with
her life. Yes. Mm-hmm. So
but it doesn't seem like she's a grief-stricken person to me.
No.
I mean, everyone expresses things differently.
But so he's kind of feeling,
but
he also feels bad for her. Restricting
doesn't mean that you get to totally use and abuse everyone around you.
Yeah. Well, so all these feelings are happening and the brother has heard about his engagement and comes back to Tuscany.
Yes.
To see what's going on.
Yeah.
And he comes into the his villa and Anna's asleep. He wakes her up. It's like, what's going on? Mm-hmm. Like, who are you? What are you doing? And he decides that they need to tell her. Yeah. She needs to tell their
family.
Yeah,
and he doesn't want to be the one to tell the family because he wants to be the good guy.
Yeah.
And so, and she's the one that's created this
lie. Absolutely. Yeah. Why shouldn't she have to be the one to say, you know, and instead of him attacking this woman that they've come to love, she needs to be the one to say, hey, guys, listen, I was desperate. I was stuck in Tuscany and I couldn't find a place to stay. And I take advantage of your son.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they meet with the family and Anna's just, but, you know.
And the whole family too. Michael's there.
Yeah. Mateo.
Like this family can get together on a dime. Like, you know how long it would take my family to be able to coordinate all of these? All
generations are there at the same time.
All the time.
Everyone. Everyone's there.
Whenever you need them for the moment.
But I think that, like, maybe other countries and cultures, like, the family is a little bit more centralized. So that might not be so odd.
But do we ever see the other family members' mansions that are right next to his mansion?
No, we don't know how they live. I don't think, do we see the, I think we do see the parents' house. It's pretty nice.
Well, they have a nice family dinner, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, they have a beautiful home, too. But Mateo is greeted with such warmth from his family. He is just taken aback.
And his dad actually talks to him, which never happens.
And so
his dad is a cold-hearted man, I guess.
He was just super Mateo.
Friendly to everyone else.
Yeah.
But just to Mateo.
So suddenly, as Anne is about to spill the beans, Mateo has a change of heart and says, and cuts her off and starts going along with the lie.
And then it's kind of funny. He's like, we can make this work, right? We can make this work. Yeah. It's like, let's we're going to get married and have babies.
Yeah, we're two attractive people. Like, we like each other, you know. We were going to have sex at one point. This can work.
I mean, we obviously are into each.
And Michael sees this and he's like, oh, I guess it wasn't a lie after all. Because all along, he was like a little bit...
Yeah, that's why he was... Out. I think maybe why he let himself maybe feel more for her than he probably should have.
Yeah,
because he wasn't certain that that was an actual engagement.
Yeah.
Like
but
also, like, why would you fall in love with someone that is living their life based on a lie? Like, I don't know. I just... they all have issues.
So, you know... The internal emotional issues, like Anna is paralyzed by grief and a massive fear of failure. Like her mother's recent passing completely derailed their shared dream of visiting Italy together and caused Anna to drop out of culinary school. We talked about that.
But
she deals with her pain and she makes these reckless, impulsive decisions and hiding behind the dishonest facade because she doesn't believe that she can succeed.
Yeah.
And then also, so that is her kind of, she's dealing with this the whole movie.
And her way of dealing with it, like I feel like they're trying to portray that it's that grieving is by making reckless, impulsive, illegal decisions.
Yes.
Like that's how she's grieving.
Yeah.
And maybe that's the thing. I don't know.
I don't know. Like when I read the stages of grief, like, you know, start lying to people and I don't remember that
wearing
one.
Other people's clothes.
Yeah, like stealing
pretending you're other
things.
People.
Yeah. I don't remember that as one of the stages, but you know, I'm not a psychologist.
It's Anna's grief.
But
they do say that everyone grieves differently. I listened to some podcast, I don't know, a year ago while I was doing some project, and they did say that like the stages of grief weren't designed to like be like, this is how
Everyone grieves.
Everyone does grieve differently.
Sure.
And so I'm going to just put all of my rational thoughts aside and believe that this is a normal way for anyone to grieve.
Well, I mean, certainly.
It was hard for me to buy into it, though.
I think her inability to move forward in life is definitely her
Absolutely.
Grief.
Absolutely. And I think that sometimes, like, she lost everything in her worldview standpoint. She lost everything. And then and then after she lost her mom, she also, you know, just kind of just went down a spiral. And so I get the whole self-destructive spiral thing. And so I think that she was being very self-destructive. And her behaviors are self-destructive, you know, like wearing other people's clothing, you know, in setting yourself up to fail. Like, she was doing that every step of the way. So she was being self-destructive. It's kind of like almost cut yourself so you can feel real pain. So I can understand those things. But the thing that I guess bothered me is when you see someone in that situation, it's not adorable and cute and forgivable. Yeah. It is.
Her friend never calls her out on it. She's kind of like just commenting on it.
That's not a good friend. Yeah, that's not a good friend.
Her only friend in the world. And neither is the cab driver. Like, the people that are supposed to, I think in a movie, there's got to be a character that helps someone grow a little bit.
And she didn't grow because she didn't actually address her issues.
Yeah, so we're missing a major...
She only gets opportunities based on her deception.
And she gets rewarded for them, which pisses me off. I'm so sorry of people getting rewarded for being assholes.
The crux of this like dilemma is like, what is she supposed to do? Be on a park bench in a foreign country with no money to her name. But she did put herself in the situation. Or go along with this total lie and fall in love with a brooding brother. Like, that's her choices are.
And if you're left, and when you put it like that, obviously, like, of course you're going to choose the
amazing six pack.
Right. Look. And because he's totally available and he can look past all of this somehow.
So,
and so, I don't know, like, let's talk about the reality of this storyline.
Yeah. Is okay. First off, would this ever happen?
I just don't think so. I just don't see
that. I really hope not.
A person would behave that way under any circumstance, unless they have this personality disorder, then they could justify that. But I don't see the average person behaving that way under any circumstance.
Yeah.
I really had a hard time buying into that character.
And then to have to say that we like that? No!
Yeah.
I did not want this heroine to have a cute, happy ending because she was a terrible human.
Well, at least she wanted to see growth. And there is she does make a shift a little bit when the father of Mateo and Michael, he falls, bumps his head, and can't make dinner for this festival.
So she saves the day.
Yeah. So actually,
she gets back in the kitchen.
Actually, Mateo suggests Anna can be the sous chef, and she can help the dad make this huge meal. Mm-hmm. But he can't even do that. So she has to do it all. She's put on the spot. And she has
been behind the stove for a long time.
Yeah. And she does love this family and she wants to prove herself.
But really, that's the only nice thing that she does the entire movie.
This is the only growth is she steps out of her her being scared.
And I looked at it as a way for me, because it also made their lie also more believable, because Mateo was kind of showing that he knew this woman.
Yeah.
You know, he knows everything about her. Like, I know she's a great cook. Like, she doesn't know that.
I have confidence in her, which he had none.
She
went to culinary school. So can't she do the cooking?
Felt like more of a feeding into this lie situation than it was, I'm helping this family out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At
this point, she did have the growth here is at this point, because Mateo had already validated the lies in that, okay, I'm part of the lie with you. That gave her permission to come out of it if she wanted to, in a sense, because she wouldn't be, they wouldn't prosecute her at that point. Like, if once
Mateo was going along with
it. The second he agreed to go along with it, he can no longer press charges against her. You know what I'm saying? From
it. Exactly.
So she could have, as soon as Mateo agreed to it and went along with the ruse, she could have at any point come out of it without getting in legal trouble.
So even though that was like, I think their attempt at showing character growth, I still viewed it as like, this is an opportunity for me to still stay out of prison.
Yes. I think I can get more out of the situation. And I felt like it was more of along the lines of, I can still use this family, because she's getting a lot more from them than she's giving.
Yes.
And
they are even more appreciative of her.
Yeah. I think it becomes an invest. I think her viewpoint isn't, how can I help these people? I really want to help these people. It's more of along the lines of, okay, what's the minimum investment I can make to still keep pumping this family for more resources?
Yeah, I struggled.
That was the only place I could have seen maybe she had growth.
But it's a stretch to find that growth.
Yeah, She's too tainted of a character without any honesty and foundation things for me to really give her that.
So we're being asked to suspend all disbelief about normal behavior or how people should treat each other.
And then have the Scooby-Doo moment where we think she can step into this.
So that brings us to like, let's talk
I'm
about
sorry,
what,
I cut
what,
you off.
No, you're fine.
This is like, so what would you do? Do you confess and immediately face the local police and sleep on a park bench? Yeah. Or do you take a deep breath, say, risk a massive fraud charge and accidentally fall in love with this, you know, amazing winemaker who has a beautiful family that you want to be a part of?
I mean, you fall in love. That's what you would do if you were her.
Mm-hmm.
Because she is just so
self-absorbed.
Looks out for herself. And so that's what she would do. I can't even put myself in the situation to say what would I do? Because I just can't even believe any of it.
Well, none of us would ever put ourselves in that position anyway. No, so it's hard to relate to what you actually would do if you were in that situation.
I wouldn't have done any of it to begin with. Any of it. I just can't even sympathize with this character in any way, shape, or form.
No.
But we're going to let her continue down the path that she is as a human and fall in love with the brother because she's not going to own up to anything ever.
But you know what? This is a Scooby-Doo world. So, you know, I mean, let's talk about
it. It feels like a fantasy world for sure. So, but like if these two people were, in this movie, they do because it's a romance movie. They do end up together in the end with everyone's full understanding of everything that's happening. And they just are like, that's all okay to us.
And everyone's like, oh, bygones be bygones. What a cute meet cute.
Yes, that's adorable. How romantic.
Aww,
go chase the girl.
Yes,
you just go
do that.
It's totally fine. So like in all reality, if that's what's happening.
What a fucked up family dynamic.
Right. We can choose to ignore all reality.
All red flags. And like you want this woman to be raise your grandbabies?
Well, exactly. I mean, there's a trust issue here, right? A huge trust that she has like been so deceptive in such a huge way.
But they can ignore
let it go and just
and because
not,
we like her surfacey stuff.
Not even in the back of your brain go, you know what? She's lied about these things. Is she going to keep lying in life? You know?
And she was stealing. I mean, she was like coming in.
She was ready to
breaking an entry.
She was going to take a family heirloom.
Yeah. Like she was putting on our expensive family heirloom jewelry.
Yes.
She was breaking and entering. I mean, this is not somebody you want to say
out of their fantasy world. If any one of them, like, I don't think they'd last a day.
Well, and here's something too.
The problem is they apparently like are living in an alternate universe.
Yes. Yeah. And what if this girl this is where I wonder, like, what if instead of we didn't have our beautiful actress, what if we had, you know, somebody who was instead of, you know, an 8 out of 10, you know, prettiness and all that jazz. What if it was someone who was like, oh, I have acne and I'm in smelly homeless clothes. And what if it was a homeless person who had broken into the place, put the ring on. I'm with Mateo.
They'd be calling the police.
They'd be calling the police immediately. They'd be doing all these things. So it's like, you know, she gets away with it because she's cute. And like, don't get me wrong. Like I love that about life, but it's wrong.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's any level of hotness past that.
Yeah, there's no hotness level that makes it. Would she? Yeah, like I'm like, you know, the hot crazy. You guys ever seen the hot crazy graph?
Yeah,
where guys will put up with crazy because they're like, it's
okay. I can ignore everything else.
Yeah. She's a Kimberly.
Yeah.
Or a hairdresser.
Oh, that is so funny. Yeah, you guys have to look up
I'm so crazy.
Yeah, the hot crazy matrix is hilarious. Look it up.
It is. So, yeah, it's just, I just can't understand any of it. And I just feel like it's doomed.
Absolutely.
Like as soon as they come off their hotness high, then they're going to realize, oh shit, we've got a monster sleeping in our bed.
Yeah, she's selfish. She's a selfish human being.
So I'm going to
give
them
a day. And they both are willing to like.
A day?
I hope once they come out of their coma, whatever it is that's happening.
Oh, they're going to last a few years.
I was going to say.
How long is it going to take for them to finally.
They have this. They have this family that insulates. That like allows them to live within an unsupervised reality. So
3 months. Fine. I'll give her 3 months.
I think it's going to be longer than that. Honestly,
I say 2 years.
Probably around the 2 years. And if they have babies, this family absorbs all the crazy. This family will be like, you know what? This fantasy works better for us than reality. So they have a family that will perpetuate the fantasy and absorb the discomfort.
I think as long as she keeps cooking.
Yeah. So as long as she keeps cooking.
And it's good food.
And it's good food. And as long as the family will keep absorbing all the crazy, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
they can live in their utopia because they have control over it. I actually could see the family allowing
them.
Her
problems will go away if she's ingratiated in this family. She'll have a family. She'll have a home. She'll have...
She can cook. She has, yeah.
So she won't have to continue the...
Yeah. But she never has to grow as a human, but she can still have all the benefits of if she had done the growth.
And she's never going to...
So why would she not want the easy pickings? So honestly, I don't think she's going to have a problem. This guy, it seems like it'll work for him too.
And even the hard-nosed father who is skeptical of everyone, doesn't trust anyone, he loves her.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the make-believe fantasy that they have, and also that the family needs this, that the family's willing to accept all of this crazy,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be sheltered from ever happening to be real people.
Yeah.
And they're always going to be able to find fantasy outlets that will be supported by the family. So I think that honestly, for who these people are, this is probably their best goal, their best thing.
Yeah, but they weren't like fantastical people.
No, they're not.
Prior to her showing up.
No, they're not.
Like she had some magical fairy dust that made them all just stupid. I don't know.
But if we're going along with the fantasy created by this
like I wish I had some of that dust.
Where should I get it?
Yes.
But I've seen this dust shit where it's like, you know what, though? So we want to pretend that these big issues don't exist for us. So now we can put this facade on and it will all just support the facade.
But doesn't
and
that...
And it's supporting the facade. These are fake-ass people anyway.
It's still corrosive.
It is, but they're fake-ass people. So that corrosive, it's yeast. So it doesn't matter. It still will have a longer life than you would think because serving the fakeness actually prevents everyone from ever needing to do the real growth.
Yeah. Okay. Well, how spicy is this? I'd say I'm between green pepper and jalapeno. There's like some kissing.
Yeah, green pepper.
That's about.
He showed his abs.
Yeah.
That's hot to me. I love that.
That was
abs.
The jalapeno moment. There you go.
But seriously, just like watch Bridgerton. And
you're better off with that storyline.
Yeah, just do Bridgerton, even though it has, I love Bridgerton, but it has its fantasy moments too.
But I think that is part of this. Like, that's like, it's up front. This is.
Yeah. And the people aren't icky
people.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was presented to be a realistic scenario.
Yeah. And it's just really hard to like people who genuinely are not good people.
Yeah.
And pretend that they are. And that really bothered me.
So I shared my favorite line.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Already, the cab driver.
Yeah. That one's good.
Did you guys have a favorite?
Well, it's just like, wasn't really a line, but it's just sort of a feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, sometimes the life you're meant to live is waiting on the other side of the plans you thought you needed. So, I mean, I do like that idea that, you know, you're kind of going through life and you have a plan, but sometimes that plan is not the best, like what you foresee is happening mm-hmm. or what's going to happen in your life. Sometimes that is not the trajectory and letting yourself kind of experience other things, like saying yes to stuff. It's saying yes to things that opens up. Other doors.
Opportunities.
Well, you know, and it's kind of funny because I think that we have done on this podcast, you know, and I'm not sure how it's going to come out in order, but we have the other book where someone just dropped everything and just went and did a trip.
Yeah.
And in that one, I love that one because the character had so much growth and the character had so much accountability. And that's the way you should do this story. And that's not what happened in this story.
Yeah, that was what was really lacking.
So,
and I kept hoping.
And yeah, so I'm like
why there's got to be a reason we're watching this.
Why did they make a movie out of this one? Why didn't they make a movie out of the book where we actually got the character? I mean, it's a similar mentality.
Yeah. Well, let's promote it. It's The Gap Year.
And oh, The Gap Year. It. Yeah. It was great. That one needs to have a movie made out of it. Because that's the one where you're like, whoa, okay, someone just decided I'm getting on a plane.
I need a change of scenery. I need to change my life. This isn't working for me. So what am I going to do? I'm going to say yes, and I'm going to make a drastic change.
Yeah. So we do. We have, there's scenarios.
And I guess maybe that's why I'm hating on this
payoff for this one wasn't there. And that's what was so frustrating to me is that it wasn't written for anything other than like a fantasy, a Barbie movie.
Yeah.
Like
even Barbie actually had a lot of good points.
Okay, not my Barbie movie with Ryan and Margot, but I'm talking like, you know, the like cartoon Barbie movies.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Yeah. I'm talking like the geared to 5-year-olds. Yeah. Like, that's what it felt like.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you want to get something out of this movie, just know that you're going to be enjoying the scenery.
Both
the Abs and the Tuscan villa.
Exactly.
But you're not, the characters are terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, the acting of the two main characters is good. The acting of the not main characters, not so good.
I would give it a 1-star rating. I hated it.
I mean, but I think I'm such a hater. I hated it too. I'm such a hater because it also came, we just read a really good example of how to do this.
I don't know if it would have mattered. I would have hated it no matter what I had just read.
I think we just answered though, you know, does it matter? Is the story engaging? And do we like the characters? We just answered all that.
Yeah, no, I think no. Like, I feel bad. I don't normally feel that way about. But okay, I will say romance scares me a little bit because I'm like, I need some reality. And guess what? I'm so shocked by how many things I've learned and character growth and, about relationships delving into romance movies or books.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that they were all going to be like this. And this was a rare one.
Yeah, this is the exception.
This was an exception.
We found some very good romance stories. I really love our journey so far.
And this movie, like I feel like I've been the most
owned with this movie.
But like it incenses like there's a place for this movie. I mean, like it's cute, it's fluff.
It's fluff.
And sometimes you want fluff. Like sometimes,
and that's what I'm saying. It's just about the scenery.
You know, sometimes you eat Skittles. Yeah. Sometimes you eat Skittles for dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, you know, if you want to clean the house and watch a fluff, sure.
Yeah, you're like, look up and see
what's happening.
Yeah.
Just kind of visually look at it once in a while and you'll love it. It's beautiful. It's beautifully filmed. Yeah, I mean, that is, I love the location and the, like we said, it made us want
to. And who doesn't want to have this like fantasy, doesn't matter what I do, I'm going to be adored no matter what. You know, who doesn't want that fantasy to exist for them or someone else?
Yeah, it did. It makes you want to pack your bags and go to Tuscany. And I think that was kind of
Don't, because I don't want crap.
Yeah. Okay. You're right.
Don't go.
Ruined Tuscany. So thanks for that.
Don't go to Tuscany. It's terrible. You'll hate it.
Yeah. So that's kind of like what you're going to get out of this.
Yeah.
And that's all I can say.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's how we felt about that movie. So, I mean, if you'd like to reach out to us about your book, request a book or movie review to ask us, what would you do or tell us your real life love story, you can reach us at www.myperfectromance.com, where you'll also find us in all our links and socials as well.
Yeah, and I'm really, really excited, you guys, because we have our 100th episode coming up.
Yay! Wow, I can't believe it. That's
and
exciting.
So we're going to have Lee Balcom. We did review his book, How to Save Your Marriage.
Yes.
But in this episode, I mean, this man has done, he spent his whole career understanding relationships and how they work. And he has so many fantastic suggestions, but I really wanted him to help us because we like to analyze movies and books.
Yes.
And how the relationships really work. And he helps us to understand that a whole lot better. And he gives us so many great tips.
Yeah. And he gives you actual things.
Solid
like he
advice.
Can work out. Solid advice. And it's just nice because the way he explains things, it's not like he's just using
cliches
and, you know, greeting cards.
Actionable things.
Yes.
You can do.
And, you know, like you see the arcs and he explains things in arcs and then you're just like, oh.
So we're going to delve into kind of a little bit of debunking the happily ever after with
and
me.
I think we should invite listeners to listen to his podcast.
Oh, yeah.
Listen to our 100th anniversary episode.
Yeah.
Yes, no, he's addicting. Amazing. And mm-hmm. and he's so articulate. He's amazing. Yeah. Like, and they tend to run in age. His podcasts tend to run from like 15 to 30 minutes.
Yeah. And yeah. So yeah. really chewable.
Very chewable.
Digestible information. Mm-hmm. We're also going to review the movie Girls Like Girls, starring Maya DeCosta and Myra Malloy. I saw this in the previews of Wuthering Heights, and I was like, putting that one on the docket because it's going to be so good. And then we're going to be reviewing, and I'm so excited to talk to Demi and her partner. Apparently, I'm a Bitch with Demi Blaze, and she hails from Australia. And yay! I'm so excited that she reached out and that we're going to be talking with her. I fun book. And we're also going to be doing something a little different. We're going to be decoding what it means to make authentic connections with a founder. Like, he's got this incredible platform that he's developing. And we're going to talk to him about that.
Kind of. Well, but it's not it's not dating. Website.
It's more of like meaningful connections. And that's what we want, right? And that's what I think a lot of those platforms are failing to do. So he has set something up that I think is pretty cool.
Aren't I the guinea pig? Since yeah. I'm the only single person.
You're the guinea pig. So I'm so excited to talk to him about that.
Burnt sacrifice.
And just show you guys. And kind of learn about what it means to make meaningful connections in life. So I'm really looking forward to that. So yeah, reach out to us. And while you're here, follow us so you don't miss any of these episodes. And we'll rate and review. We really appreciate your feedback. So
yes.
So until then, keep believing in the perfect version of your own romance. I'm Val.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Lisa.
And this has been My Perfect Romance.
Happy romancing, everyone.
XOXO.